Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah apparently was rather overwhelmed with this loss, discouraged, despondent, frustrated, fearful. You see, for 52 years, King Uzziah had been the driving force leading Judah to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And now he was dead. Because of that seeking first the Lord had poured out abundant blessings and prosperity upon Judah during that time. And now he was dead. And not only that, Israel, rather than thankfully growing in faith and commitment to the Lord for all of these blessings, had grown more and more in the complacency that took God for granted, that turned to the gods of this world. And Uzziah himself, at the end, we're told, had lifted up his heart against God. He'd gone into the holy place in order to make the sacrifice of the incense himself. He called it his divine right as king. God called it rebellion and struck him with leprosy, and he died. Every day until he died, Uzziah had to confess to every person he met, "I am unclean." You know, by nature, that's not something that we readily want to do. Tell everybody else how unclean we really are. We don't want to unveil those things. We'd rather, like Uzziah, think, well, it won't really matter. And so when God's Word directs us to do something that we think will prevent our fulfillment, our happiness, are reaching our goals too easily, like Uzziah, we treat God's Word as if it won't really matter. Or else we stomp and snort and stampede like a bull that has seen red. Or like Isaiah, we perhaps presume that I'm the one that should determine when and how and where I worship. Which, notice from the example of Uzziah, is itself rebellion against the Lord. And so when Uzziah dies, this figurehead of ungodliness, this figurehead of godliness dies, it drives home to us that sin does matter. It makes every one of us unclean, and death reigns over sin. Like Uzziah and Judah, you and I have also been blessed with many gifts, prosperity. We have cars and computers, food, fine clothing. And yet there are a lot of storm clouds over America, even as they were over Judah. Over the Social Security system, over health care, over our national debt, over our national immorality. And there may be closer storm clouds in your life. Problem with finances or with a friend. This amazing vision given to Isaiah is not given to assure Isaiah or us that all of those storm clouds are going to somehow vaporize. We won't have these problems anymore. No, Isaiah is specifically told, go and preach. but the people will not listen to you. And so people today sometimes don't listen. Sometimes students don't listen. The storm clouds gather and they get worse. But, and what a delight that we can say but at that point. But what else did Isaiah see? I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. The Lord is alive and in His temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. And listen to what John 12 tells us about that vision. Isaiah spoke these things when he saw Christ in His glory. Jesus is living and reigning on that throne in heaven. And He's living and reigning there to wash away the uncleanness of our sins, to give to you and me who are under the penalty of death everlasting life, that we might dwell around that throne of His glory. Yes, in this world, the storm clouds may be here. They may not disappear. This vision does not assure us that everything in this world is going to go the way we might like it to. As I mentioned, the Lord actually tells Isaiah he's to go and preach, but the people in general will not listen. And yet, in the midst of that, here's the assurance to sustain Isaiah, to sustain you and me. Jesus is living and reigning on His throne. That vision doesn't give us then worldly assurance. Our Uzziahs, our parent, our friend may fail, may die. Other people may be unwilling to listen to the message of Christ. The storm clouds in our own personal life may appear to get darker. And finally, all of the visions and dreams that we have of life in this world that we store up in the broken cisterns of this world are going to seep away. But your Savior lives. And He is sitting on that throne of heaven in order to take the coal from the altar of His sacrifice and cleanse your lips, your heart, your life, washing away your uncleanness, making you the holy child of God and heir of everlasting life. So even if all externals fail, here is the one confidence that lives and will not die. Jesus is sitting on the throne. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 249.